AM and FM, Seattle.
CBS News. Reports are circulating in Peking once again that Mao Zedong's health is failing. I'm Mike Stanley reporting on the CBS Radio Network. From his listening post in Hong Kong, Mike Chinoy reports that reporters recently in Peking have come away with stories that Mao's health is fading.
Chairman Mao is normally seen in public only when he greets a foreign visitor. In the past, these sessions have usually lasted between 1 and 2 hours. But since he spent an hour and 40 minutes with Richard Nixon in February, Mao has dramatically shortened these meetings. In March, Mao spent only 20 minutes with the Prime Minister of Laos. When he met Egypt's vice president in mid-April, the session wasn't much longer. And on Friday, Mao spent less than 15 minutes with New Zealand's prime minister. The reason for this appears to be Mao's increasingly poor health. Diplomats in Peking say that at these meetings, Mao has appeared extremely frail and has had great difficulty speaking. This is no surprise, since Mao is 82. But it underscores the fact that sooner or later, Mao will be passing from the scene and leaving a seriously divided country behind him. Mike Chinoy for CBS News, Hong Kong.
It's been reported in Tokyo that a new wave of criticism has been delivered against former Vice Premier Deng Xiaoping. In addition, a mass public scolding was given to three Chinese for what was termed counter-revolutionary conduct during a riot in Peking's Tiananmen Square last month. One Radio Peking broadcast monitored in Tokyo said more than 50,000 activists in theoretical study had been trained to criticize Deng. The white minority government of Rhodesia has begun a massive mobilization of civilians to help carry out what has been termed a new seek-and-destroy offensive against black nationalist guerrillas. Authorities have announced the main road to South Africa, closed 2 weeks ago by stepped-up terrorist activity, has been reopened to traffic under army escort. Both moves follow the call by Secretary of State Kissinger for a negotiated settlement to end the racial dispute in southern Africa and avert a tragic bloodbath. Kissinger has returned to Nairobi, Kenya, there to wind up his Six Nation African tour. On Thursday, he is to address the fourth UN Conference on Trade and Development. Undersecretary of State for Economic Affairs Charles Robinson says Kissinger will deliver a major speech embodying a very comprehensive approach to the main problems of Africa. Sources indicate the secretary will propose establishment of an international resources bank to finance the production and export of raw materials in poor countries and insure investors against nationalization. A senior U.S. official in the Kissinger party says the secretary is concerned that the Ronald Reagan primary victory in Texas will push President Ford into more conservative foreign policy positions. A look at the political scene following this message.
Hi, Sally. What's new?
Oh, hi, Morty. What's new? Well, let me...
Enough of this small talk. How about dinner tonight?
Oh, tonight I'm planning a vacation.
Oh, I meant to travel myself. Listen, you ever get down to Marrakesh?
Marrakesh? No.
Too bad. Listen, a little dinner, dancing tomorrow night?
Oh, tomorrow I'm going to a concert.
Oh, I meant to concerts myself. How about Thursday?
Sorry, that's my belly dance lesson, Morty.
Oh, I meant to belly dancing my... Well, not really. Say, you sure get around. You know, I like to get around the town myself.
Oh, no. I do all of these things at the library.
The library?
Right. They have some marvelous new services you just wouldn't imagine.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you can plan a garden, hear a lecture, even register to vote.
All of this at the library.
That's right.
Well, isn't that something? I just ask, what's new, Sally, and look what I learned.
Plus, the library is a terrific place to meet people who share your same interests.
Same interests, exactly. Sally, listen, why don't we go to the library maybe Friday night, check out some paperback.
Morty?
Uh-huh.
I got married last Thursday.
Uh-huh. Best of luck, Sally. Alinda, what's new? Are you into the library?
The library. Come see what's new besides books. A public service message from the American Library Association.
Mr. Ford told a public forum in Fort Wayne, Indiana on Sunday night that the United States will not tolerate foreign intervention in African disputes, such as the Cuban and Soviet participation in the Angolan Civil War. The president drew lusty and long applause when he denounced the soft-on-criminals approach to law and order, promising his administration would launch a war on crime. Mr. Ford campaigns Monday in Indianapolis, then flies to Birmingham, Alabama, before returning to the White House late in the day. GOP presidential challenger Ronald Reagan will hopscotch through Indiana Monday, continuing his vote-getting effort with special emphasis on wooing Democrats. In Indiana, they're allowed to cross over to vote in the GOP primary as they were in Texas. Those crossovers are seen as an important factor in the Reagan victory in the Texas primary. The moderate California Republican League Sunday rejected that state's former governor as being too far right on the political spectrum. It endorsed President Ford. but the conservative United Republicans of California refuse to endorse either candidate, calling both GOP contenders highly socialistic. Democratic presidential frontrunner Jimmy Carter, interviewed in the current international edition of Newsweek magazine, says as president, he would place more emphasis on bilateral relations, the United States and other nations, singly, one-on-one, rather than what he termed power block confrontation. In Indianapolis, Carter said that if he were elected president, he would pardon young men, except deserters, who fled the United States rather than serve in the military during the Vietnam War. But he said he would not grant general amnesty. For two armed bandits in Compton, California, timing was a thing of beauty on Sunday. They were in the process of ordering a supermarket manager to open the safe when at that very moment, an armored transport messenger arrived with $30,000 in cash. The bandits told the manager not to bother with the safe, took the messenger's money, and escaped in a car waiting for them outside. I'm Mike Stanley, CBS News.
CBS for Seattle, this is KIXI. The weather outlook: partly cloudy skies tomorrow with increasing chance of rain tomorrow night and Tuesday, and continued cool. Highs near 60, lows in the mid to upper 40s. Currently in downtown Seattle, 51, 52 at the airport. The barometer steady at 30.20. Taking a look at sports in the North American Soccer League, Seattle defeated Vancouver by a score of 1-0. In Major League Baseball today, the National League, Houston and the New York Mets split a doubleheader. Philadelphia beat Atlanta, Montreal over Cincinnati, Los Angeles down St. Louis, San Diego dumped Pittsburgh, and Chicago took two from San Francisco. In the American League, Cleveland and California split, as did Oakland and Baltimore. Kansas City beat the Yankees, and Texas defeated Boston. In the National Basketball Association playoffs, Boston over Buffalo 104-100, the Celtics winning that series 4-2. And Golden State 128, Phoenix 103. The Warriors leading that series 1-0.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... G. Marshall, commuter between this world of the mundane and the other world of the macabre. Although, frankly, I find it harder and harder to tell them apart. We look at oil, that surging, volatile liquid which fires the machinery of our complex civilization. We look at it with increasing anxiety because we know that sooner or later it must run out. And then what? Well, it isn't exactly a new situation. There was a time in the past when the human race had almost used up practically all the oil there was.
Look! Whales!
Hundreds of whales!
Thousands of whales!
Millions of whales!
We're rich! Each and every one of us rich!
You got your harpoon ready, Noah?
Ready.
Now go ahead, throw it!
This big one here. This one.
Well, you're close enough, Noah. Throw the land.
Throw it!
Noah, is something wrong?
Noah, what are you standing there for?
I can't. I can't.
What do you mean you can't, boy?
It's wrong.
What are you saying? Is this you, Noah Arkwright? The greatest of all whaling captain?
No, it's wrong. Wrong. I can't. I'll never kill another whale.
Our mystery drama, The Lamps of the Devil, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Sam Dan and stars Christopher Tabori. It is sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and Allied Van Lines. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
To the man who bought the Skyhawk, to the girl in the century, we're glad you like your Buicks, glad you set your spirit free.
And to the family from Ohio, to the folks up in St. Paul, nice to see you join us, nice to see you all.
If you went into a Buick dealer's between now and April 30th, do you know what would happen? Well, if you ordered one of four cars with a list of specially selected options, you'd get a vinyl top at no extra charge. Like that Skylark over in the corner? Order one with sport mirrors, a rally tilt steering wheel, body side stripes, and vinyl buckets, and Buick pops for the top. To find out about other cars, talk to your Buick dealer. He knows all that stuff.
Dedicated to the free spirit in just about everyone.
Parents, reading is educational. Reading is exciting. Reading is fun. If you can read, you can help teach your child to read. Help your child create his own picture book. Join him or her in cutting out pictures you both like from magazines. Then paste the pictures on sheets of paper. Help arrange the pictures to form pages of different chapters. Some chapters might be called Daddy and Mommy, or Things I Like, or What I Want to Be, or Places I'd Like to Go. More than just being fun, putting the pictures where they belong will be teaching your child to organize and classify information. Listen for other new approach method, Reading Hints to Parents, furnished as a public service announcement by this radio station. For further ways you can help your child, write the New Approach Method Incorporated, Post Office Box 1303, Trenton, New Jersey, 08607.
It happens after every war. The boys come back to another world, a different world. A world that has, in many ways, passed them by. And they see the world divided into two camps. Those who went away and fought, and those who stayed home and got rich. In 1865, the long and bloody Civil War was over. And Lieutenant Noah Arkwright, who served with distinction in the United States Navy, came home to a seaport town in Massachusetts.
Yes, it's Noah. You're Noah. Home from the war. Not a hole, not a scratch. Fit as a fiddle, spry as a colt. And where's my kiss?
Noah.
Where's my hero's welcome? See my medal? This ain't just a hunk of tin hanging by a rag. No, ma'am. This was personally pinned on my broad chest by Admiral Farragut himself, the Commander-in-Chief.
Noah.
That's right, my darling. My name is Noah. And your name is Prudence. And we must go inside your father's house where you may sit yourself down from the shock of seeing your beloved. Oh, Prudence. Prudence, you're prettier than ever.
Noah, you never wrote.
What was there to write? Except I love you. And you already knew that. Let's have a small wedding.
Noah, listen.
And you will sail with me. Here's one whaling captain that's going to take his wife on all his voyages.
Noah, listen. I'm a married woman.
The captain's cabin shall be more than just... You're what?
I'm a married woman, Noah. You never wrote. How was I to know if you were alive or dead? You were gone 4 years. Noah.
Night after night, at sea, in the darkness. I was never alone. You were always with me.
Oh, please, Noah.
Please, Noah, what?
I'm sorry.
You're sorry?
You have to understand. Time passes. People change.
Prue, I thought I heard voices in here.
Who is this?
Oh, George, I would like to present an old friend, Lieutenant Noah Arkwright. Noah, my husband, George.
This fisheye?
Noah.
This is your husband. You threw me over for this pot.
I warn you, sir.
Oh, I'll bet he's rich.
Please, Noah, I know how you feel.
No, Mrs. Married Lady Prudence. You do not know how I feel.
Sir, I must ask you to leave this house.
In what outfit did you serve our country, Mr. Husband?
George served our country on the home front.
Oh, at no loss to himself, I'll wager.
Shall you leave, sir, or shall I throw you out?
Are you giving me a choice?
Please, Noah.
Throw me out.
Prudence, we shall have to send for the sheriff.
And let me give you some good reasons to send for the sheriff.
No.
There's one. And there's another.
Noah, this won't change anything.
He's all yours.
Noah, I heard you were back.
Mr. Fallowfield, I just seen the Betty Lee. She's going to ruin.
I know.
She's just, well, just rotting away in the harbor.
I know. She ain't put to sea in over 5 years.
She has to be refitted.
Refitted?
And do I have plans? Ever since you told me I would be her skipper. Oh, I know every timber in her body, every spar, every brace. Here's what I think we should do.
No, I ain't never gonna refit the Betty Lee.
What are you saying, Mr. Fallowfield?
Well, I'm saying it don't pay.
Oh, but if you buy a new ship, you don't know what you're getting. Whereas with the Betty Lee, you see...
Well, it don't pay to refit the Betty Lee. The reason is because I ain't no longer in the whale oil business.
You're not in the... What do you mean you're not in the whale oil business? Why?
Because that don't pay neither.
You, Jonathan Fallowfield, you're not sending out the whale ships anymore.
Son... It's over.
Over? What do you mean over? How can it be over? What are folks going to do for oil, for candles, for lamps?
Well, this new stuff's cheaper. This petroleum.
Oh, no. It's filthy. It's dirty. It's only fit to light the lamps of the devil.
And it's come at just the right time. You see, the whales are practically give out.
No. I can take you to where there are thousands of whales.
There are no thousands of whales nowhere, not anymore. You hunt any animal long enough, hard enough, the way we did. One day, you wake up, and you see they've been hunted out. Hey, we'd have been in trouble, son, but they come across this petroleum.
Oh, I tell you, it won't work.
Well, it's what folks are gonna use for oil.
Never.
Guess it's hard for you, son. You've been through a war and all. Now you come home, find it just ain't the same home you left.
You promised me the Betty Lee.
Well, there she is and all, lying on the beach. You want her? Take her.
I will.
But first, ask yourself, where you get the money to fix her up, fit her out?
You mean I can't raise money for a whaling voyage here in this town? We're the whaling capital of the whole blamed world.
Well, maybe we used to be.
What do you mean, used to be?
Well, son, I've been patiently trying to tell you the days of the whaling trade are over.
Not for me. I guess we don't have anything more to talk about, do we?
It's hard for you, Noah. You've been through a bad time in the war and all. And now you come home. Ain't the same home you left.
It sure isn't. Mr. Fallowfield, I can't say it's been a pleasure. Good day to you.
Noah, let me give you a piece of advice.
Free of charge, I hope.
The world goes on, son. And when something better, cheaper, easier comes along, you make sure you get aboard. Otherwise, you know what's going to happen to you? You're going to get left.
Thank you, Mr. Fallowfield. What'd you do with the bottle, landlady?
No, ain't you had enough?
Yes, I had enough. But that's no reason to stop, is it?
Well, this won't cure what ails you.
Since when, Mrs. Pulford, are you giving temperance lectures? If you disapprove of the demon rum, why do you sell it?
But the thing is, I'm used to selling to grown men. Not to little boys. They ain't dry behind the ears.
I was decorated by Admiral David Glasgow Farragut himself. It isn't generally known. His middle name's Glasgow.
Noah.
He's of Scottish ancestry, I believe.
Noah, listen.
You think it means anything to people in this town?
No, that's just what I want.
I can't raise 15 cents on a business proposition that can't fail, that simply cannot fail.
What you have to realize, Noah, is that...
See, I know where the whales are. I know how to get them. But I can't raise 15 cents. For all I got, the highest decoration this government can give a man.
Are you through feeling sorry for yourself?
Who's feeling sorry for
you? You are. You feel your country don't appreciate what you did.
It sure doesn't.
Of course not. That's the way it goes. Nothing's too good for the boys when they leave for the war. But nothing's too bad for them when they come home.
And that's right.
No. You ain't gonna sit here and drink it right neither. Truth is, everybody's sick of the war and of everybody in it. Just want to forget.
I know a certain girl who managed to forget, Mrs. Pulford. What did she see in him anyhow?
Now, don't be too hard on her, Noah. It's like you see in the theater. Her dad's business come upon hard times, and this George Marcy's got all kinds of money.
And what am I supposed to do now?
Find something.
What? Whalen's gone busted.
Oh, and good riddance.
How can you say that? It's been the bread and butter of this town.
It's been the bread of shame. Maybe now we can find a cargo that's proper and decent.
Mrs. Pulford, have you been sampling too much of your own refreshment?
And for once to have our ships engaged in a trade that ain't based on the misery of helpless creatures.
I wish I knew what you were talking about.
Oh, them magnificent living creatures, them beautiful animals, children of God, just like you and me. Who gave us the right to slaughter them?
Oh, now, well, after all, Mrs. Pulford...
You come upon this unsuspecting animal, and you jam a harpoon into him. And then you wait for him to thrash himself to death. And then you just strip him.
Oh, now, I notice you wearing a corset, Mrs. Pulford, and it's made of baleen, the bone in a whale's mouth. What'll you ladies do?
We'll learn to do without. It ain't worth the suffering of an innocent animal.
I don't know if... Now, strictly speaking, a whale suffers. They don't have feelings.
Well, that's what you tell yourself to satisfy your conscience.
Oh, we had to kill them.
Why?
For oil. Oil to light the lamps of the world.
Well, you don't have to kill them no more. You don't need whale oil.
Oh, who says we don't?
Because now you got petroleum.
Did anyone say petroleum? Has someone uttered that abomination? Petroleum, a witch's brew for the satanic rebels, created by the tools of the devil himself. Fire and smoke. At night, the tortured fields of Pennsylvania are made bright as day by the raging flames of hell.
Now, that's enough, Peyton.
Enough for you, madam. But I speak for the hundreds, the thousands of seafaring men whose livelihood has
Peyton,
been...
Peyton, you be quiet, or you just get out.
Have a glass with me, Mr. Peyton. Here.
Oh, the two of you. Oh, you'll make a fine pair.
Why... What nonsense is this? Has she been filling your head with Nora?
Oh, nothing much.
About the whales. The poor, innocent whales.
Yeah, well.
Nora, my boy, every creature was placed on this earth by God. Is that true?
Yes.
And every creature has its appointed task and function.
True.
Now, if God didn't intend for us to use the oil of the whale, why did he give the whale so much of it? You see, boy, we were only doing the Lord's work by taking the whales.
Well, those days are over.
Who says so?
Everybody.
Who's everybody? Them fat-bellied profiteers who stayed home while you and me half bled to death in combat?
Well, I didn't bleed much. And from what I see, you look pretty healthy, too.
I'm not near as healthy as a fellow named George Marcy, who married a girl that I believe was your fiancée.
Mr. Peyton, what you say is true. But still and all, there's nothing we can do about it.
Oh, yes, there is. There's a great deal we can do about it.
Really? Tell me.
Well, now, Noah, I can't tell you here.
Why not?
And I can't tell you at all. Unless you swear on your life not to breathe a word of it.
What is that supposed to mean?
It means that there are men who just aren't willing to sit around in grog shops and drown their sorrows. It means that there are men who are willing to fight.
Fight? How? Against what?
Fight to the death against this devil's brew, this petroleum. Now, you want to join us?
Noah Arkwright looked forward to the end of the war, to a cessation of the fighting. And here, he is offered a brand new battle against a completely different foe. We'll see just what this new type of warfare consists of and whether or not Noah decides to enlist when I return with Act Two.
This is our favorite restaurant, Phyllis. What's the occasion?
I have something very important to tell you, Brad.
Oh, no.
This is the hardest thing I've had to do in my life.
Oh, no, Phil.
Believe me, it's the best for both of us.
You met Mom and everything, huh?
Well, you know how you've always resented my being witty and bright and urbane, Brad?
I don't anymore.
And how stupid you felt because I was so well-briefed in the daily events that affect our lives.
I loved it. I love stupid.
Well, I know how it must be resolved.
Don't say it, Phil.
Yes, I'm giving up Time magazine.
Oh, what?
Yes, Brad. Time and Time alone gave me the je ne sais quoi that you never approached.
Time?
I flew to it each week and filled my cup from the depths of its lively literary basin.
Time magazine?
I've been without it a week already.
Time, the weekly news magazine?
Ask me what's going on in business, medicine, religion, art, or education.
What's going on?
I don't know. I haven't the faintest idea.
Oh, Phyllis, you mean...
Yes, without Time, I'm the same empty-headed boob you are.
Oh, I do love you.
Time makes everything more interesting. Including you.
From Maine to Mauna Loa, all across this great big land, there's a neighbor who is ready to lend a helping hand. When a hurricane is brewing, when an old man needs a friend, where there's suffering, where there's trouble, there's a friend you can depend on. To Mauna Loa, all across this great big land, there's a neighbor who is ready to lend a helping hand. When a hurricane is brewing, when an old man needs a friend, where there's suffering, where there's trouble, there's a friend you can depend on. Red Cross is the
stop the wheels of progress, or so they say. But you can throw a monkey wrench into them, or more accurately, a shoe, which is what working people in France tried to do more than 100 years ago when they were losing their jobs to machines. They tossed their wooden shoes, their sabots, from which we get the word sabotage. But what can you do to petroleum?
Join in what, Mr. Payton?
Join us in fighting for your job. And the job of every whaling man in this town. And all along the coast. We're all brothers.
I've heard talk, but no hard facts.
Let's get out of here.
Where are we going?
To a meeting.
What kind of a meeting?
A meeting of good fellas who believe the way we do.
How do you know what I believe?
Now, you're an honest man, Noah. Which means you have to believe our way. I see. You see who's here? Men you grew up with, men you sailed with, men you went to war with.
What is everybody doing here? Assembled on the beach?
Because it's a symbol, Noah. It's where we are. On the beach. Out of work. Unemployed. Starving. And why? Petroleum. Men! Men! Let's begin the meeting. I see twice as many men here tonight as last week. That's because each of us must have kept his promise to bring another brother. I brought mine. He's well known to all of you. Noah Arkwright, first mate of the Betty Lee when she was a whaler. Aye, boys, boys, hold it down. Hold it down now. Noah, for you and all the newcomers tonight, let me explain why we are organized. We're out to restore our profession.
You keep saying that. But how?
By destroying petroleum.
How?
Hold it, boys. Hold it. Hold it. We're going to fight it every way we know. With everything we've got. Now, there are rumors. A ship is going to sail from here to the port of Philadelphia and bring back a cargo of petroleum. Are we going to let them land in? No! No!
But how are you going to stop it?
Dump it overboard!
Oh, you can't do that.
Who says so?
It's against the law. And we have no right to break the law.
Yeah? That's how cowards talk.
You men, y'all know me. Listen, the law was what all of us were fighting to uphold all the time we were in the war.
It's not our law.
This petroleum, who knows anything about it? How much there is? Now, we know whale oil's better. We know people have to come to their senses sooner or later.
Are you for us or against us?
I'm going back to town.
All right, Noah, go ahead. Crawl back to town on your belly. Beg somebody for a job. Plead on bended knee. We don't need you here. This is a place for men.
Well, I hear you didn't go along with the boys last night, Noah.
I don't know what you're talking about, Mrs. Pulford.
They're dumping petroleum in the harbor.
And here I thought it was a secret.
Oh, how can you have a secret if nobody knows how to keep his mouth shut?
I don't think it will ever happen.
You don't?
No. Just angry men letting off steam.
Desperate men, Noah. You ain't been home long enough.
Is that why she married him? Because her father needed money.
Oh, I see. That's what's bothering you. Well, I suppose. Anyhow, it's the story around town. Well, you should be getting over her.
Sure. How?
Find yourself another gal. Plenty of good-looking young ladies around. Some of them rich, too.
Leading the idle life of a rich man's son-in-law has no charms for me, Mrs. Pulford.
Well, who says you have to be idle? You could get a berth on a ship.
Where?
Well, most anywhere. It's a steamship.
Oh, no.
Are you going to be like the rest of these fellas? Too proud to go on anything but sail?
Sail's the only way.
Now, how can you say that? You were on a steam battleship.
Oh, but steam can never replace sail for the merchant navy.
Why not?
It's not practical. You've got to carry so much coal to feed those engines. You've got almost no room left for cargo.
Oh, now I've heard it all. Steam ain't practical. Petroleum won't work. A mast and a sail and the oil of a whale. Is that all there is for you?
Whales. You've got to understand, Mrs. Pulford. Whaling's been my whole life.
Oh, son. A lot of people have misspent lives. But suddenly, it happens. One day, without a word of warning, and just out of nowhere, they see the light.
You see, it's you and five men in a small boat. And you steal up to him, so quiet. You hold your breath, because he's the biggest living thing in the world.
Proud of yourselves, huh?
You come at him from behind.
Oh, that's showing real courage.
And when you're within darting distance, say maybe 17 feet, you throw that iron.
Why are you so excited? Like sticking a peg.
He's hooked. And now he's out of the water. He's in the air, all of him, like a mortar shell. Straight up and straight down again. And now the water is boiling as he swims and plunges this way and that, trying in vain to shake up the iron.
And all you boys are really enjoying yourselves.
And now he shoots straight ahead, pulling us along with him. It seems like you're speeding across that water faster than the speediest railroad train.
And what?
Oh, nothing. Nothing. How can a man give it up?
Are you all right, Noah?
Yes. Yes, I'm fine. I guess I'm just tired, that's all. I guess I'm just tired. Good night, Mrs. Pulford.
Mr. Fallowfield.
Where am I?
Where are you? Boy, you mad?
Fire!
Where am I? Boy, you're on the Betty Lee.
The Betty Lee?
Your ship, the Betty Lee. I promised you the Betty Lee, didn't I? We fitted her out. We're at the whales. And where they are, grab your lance, Noah, and man the whale boat.
Steady, boys. Hold her very steady.
Look, Noah, all around you. Hundreds of whales.
Thousands of whales.
Oh, didn't I tell you, Mr. Fallowfield?
You told me right, boy.
Whales. And all of them the right whales. Whales whose bodies are thick and rich with oil.
Oh, start killing.
Now, Noah, throw the lead. Blades, now!
No, what's wrong?
Why, you're just standing there, Noah.
Oh, your eyes. Show it.
Kill him! Kill him!
I... What's wrong? I can't...
What are you saying, boy?
He's got a look in his eyes.
His eyes?
You can't see a whale's eyes. I see the look in his eyes, and I can't kill him.
Throw that lance!
Yeah, before we lose him. Look at him. Oh, Lord, just look at this magnificent creature. How can we kill him?
Noah, boy!
Why should we kill him?
Corail, you fool!
No more. He doesn't know we want to kill him. He thinks we're friends. Look. He lets us come close. He trusts us.
If you won't throw that lance, step aside and let me.
Stand where you are. We kill no more whales.
Hand me that iron.
Never! Men, we're going to have to subdue him. He's gone crazy.
Stand clear of me. All of you.
Men, your share of the oil, your wages. Is he going to take it all from you?
Don't any men try to...
Look out! We're too close. The whale. We're too close.
Look out for his tail.
He's going to kill us with that tail.
Be quiet. The noise scares.
Look out.
Stab him with a lance.
Be quiet. We're going to be killed. We'll be killed.
We'll all be killed.
Look out. Look out, you fools.
Noah.
His eyes. I never saw the eyes of a whale before.
Noah.
What? Huh? What? I must have fallen asleep. Who's there?
Noah! It's me, Mrs. Pulford.
Oh, well, come in. The door's open.
What's the matter in here, Noah?
The matter?
You've been yelling and screaming something fierce. All my other boarders been complaining.
Oh, I must have been dreaming.
Well, some dream. Noah, are you sure nothing happened to you during the war?
Oh, I'm fine. I'm fine. The doctors all said so. The shrapnel just grazed my skull, that's all. It knocked me cold at the time, but I'm all right now.
Well, you look different.
How?
Well, I can't say exactly, but... something seems to be gone from your face.
What?
Well, I don't know what. Maybe you don't look so angry anymore.
Angry?
Oh, you've been looking like you're mad at the whole world since you come back.
Well, I had a right.
Oh, you look different. Do you feel different?
Do I feel different? Yes. Yes, I guess maybe I do. I can't go on being mad at the world forever. Maybe going after whales is all part of the past that's dead and gone. A past I'd better forget. Well, I'd best start thinking of things to do and... stop thinking of things to hate.
Oh, good. Oh, I knew I had something to tell you. The sheriff's downstairs in the tavern. He wants to talk to you.
Now, why would the sheriff want to talk to me?
Well, why don't you ask him?
What's on your mind, Sheriff?
You're on my mind, young fella.
Am I? Why?
You know why. I'm here to warn you.
Warn me about what?
You and the rest of them.
Warn me about what?
I'll have the bunch of you in jail so fast.
For doing what?
Nobody breaks the law in this town while I'm the sheriff.
What law have I broken?
The one you're gonna break. You attempt violence against the cargo of any ship in this harbor.
What right do you have to accuse me
of? I'm wise to you, to all of you. Riffraff like you.
Riffraff? Is that what we are?
Drunken, brawling, lazy.
Sheriff, you get out of here.
I'm warning you, young fella. You and the rest of them hooligans. Mind your step.
Now, Noah.
I should have knocked him down.
Noah, don't listen to him.
Why not? He's only saying what most folk think. That all of us are riffraff hooligans. What was it all for? Why did we fight so hard and so long? Oh, we should have let Johnny Reb just take over.
No, you know you don't mean that.
Don't I? This two-bit, pint-sized monkey thinks he can lord it over everybody because he has a tin badge. I've been pushed around long enough. Folks here think I'm a troublemaker. I'll give him something to think about. Is Peyton here? Peyton? You around? Jim? Harry? Bob? Any of you young fellas seen Peyton? You tell him I'm looking for him. Tell him... I'm sold.
And that's how it is when one is 25. The ideas are bright and vivid, but they spring from the heart and not the head. Quick to anger, violent of temper, and eager to love or to quarrel, whichever presents itself. And so it appears that Noah has chosen sides. How the fight comes out will be detailed when I shall return with Act 3.
Moving on with the Allied spirit, going to a brand new town. You're leaving the past miles behind you. With Allied van lines, you're homeward bound. Hello, tomorrow, I'm on my way. I know you're gonna bring a brighter day. I've got the Allied spirit, and it feels like I'm going home. New friends to make, new seeds to sow. With Allied van lines, I'm raring to go. Hello, tomorrow, I'm on my way.
Let the Allied spirit move you. See the yellow pages for the nearest Allied Van Lines agent.
Electrical appliances are extremely useful time-saving aids. But without proper precautions, they can be instruments of destruction. In fact, government statistics show that 80% of all electrical appliance accidents are due to carelessness. Underwriters Laboratories consumer safety expert Janice Farr says there's an easy way you can help avoid contributing to that 80%.
That's right. I strongly recommend that you read and heed your appliance instruction booklets. Most booklets contain valuable safety tips, such as recommending that you unplug your portable appliance from the outlet when not in use, and that you not let the cord hang over the edge of a table or counter, or touch hot surfaces.
And to be extra safe,
it's a good idea to keep your instruction booklets in a convenient place for quick and easy reference. Remember, the instruction booklet is there, so why not use it?
This has been a public service announcement from Underwriters Laboratories and this station.
It stumbles along in its own seemingly aimless fashion, despite our best efforts to turn it in our own direction. And each of us has to take what he is given, even if for some it's manifestly unfair. But here and there, some of us try to fight back. And when we lose the impossible war, we're considered crazy. But the rare few who win, those are the heroes. The question is, how will Noah Arkwright end up?
Who's there?
Well.
Hello, Noah.
Look who this is. Prudence. Mrs. Prudence Marcy. Or should I say, Mrs. George Marcy.
May I come in?
May I come in? And for what purpose? Is it the usual reason a lady visits a gentleman in his room very late at night?
Please, Noah. I came here to...
Yes?
I know you must hate me.
I can't say I'm filled with admiration for you, exactly.
I know how difficult things are for you just now.
Do you?
I know how many sailors are idle.
Oh, well, the fortunes of war.
I've come to offer you a job.
As what? A groom in your stables?
My husband has picked up the Betty Lee.
Oh. Is he going into the whale oil business?
George wants to send the Betty Lee to the port of Philadelphia to pick up petroleum.
Is that a fact?
Whale oil, petroleum, what difference should it make? It's oil, it burns, it lights.
And what is this supposed to mean to me?
You should be captain of that ship, the Betty Lee. Nobody knows her better than you do.
You want me to be captain of the Betty Lee? And thus, in one sweep, you do a good turn to your husband... And your fiancé?
Noah, I'm trying to help.
And where are my feelings? I'm a whaling man. It's in my blood. It's in my bones. Do you think I'd help destroy my own profession, betray my own comrades?
Noah, it's over. Can't you see it? The Betty Lee will need the best skipper for this voyage, and that's you, Noah. The world goes on. People do the best they can. You can live in the past, or you can adjust to the future.
A very pretty speech.
Oh, go ahead. Spend the rest of your life feeling sorry for yourself. I thought I could help you. I see I was foolish. Goodbye, Noah.
How do you like that? I'm wrong. Well, I told her, Peyton. Oh, yes, I told her.
Now, hold on there, Noah.
Oh, yes. They want to fill those ships with that filthy mud that seeps up out of the swamps of Pennsylvania. But there's something they forgot. Who, huh? Who's going to sail those ships?
We are.
Yeah, they need us. Without us, nothing moves. What did you say?
I said, we're going to sail to Betty Lee, Noah.
We're going to cut our own throats?
Oh, no. You have to think right, boy. We want to make sure the Betty Lee gets to Philadelphia, loads on them barrels of petroleum, and comes back to this very same port.
Why?
So we can have a party.
What party?
The grand, glorious petroleum oil party, right in this harbor.
The grand, glorious petroleum oil party?
Why, Noah, we'll become another Boston.
Yes. They'll think they whipped us. But we'll bring back that petroleum and throw it in their faces.
And all you have to do is become the master of the Betty Lee.
And sign on all the boys as my crew.
Oh.
Evening, Miss Marcy.
What do you want, Noah?
Why, what's happened to good manners since I've been gone? It used to be folks in this town answer the door and say, why, come in, sit a spell.
No, please, no trouble.
Who's at the door, Prudence? Oh, what do you want?
I see bad manners are catching. Prudence, why don't you serve us up a cup of tea?
See here, sir, you can't barge into my house and order...
I knocked at the door very politely and was admitted by the lady herself. Now to business.
I'm not interested. I must ask you to leave this house.
You're talking like a fool.
What?
Believe me, I know. I used to be a fool myself. You bought the Betty Lee. Who knows her better than I do? Who could be a better skipper for her than me?
I didn't buy her to make a whaler out of her.
What's it to me what kind of oil she carries?
There are scores, hundreds of out-of-work captains who need you.
Ask anybody in town. I'm the best captain you could hope to find for the Betty Lee. It's true. I don't like you. You don't like me. But what should that have to do with anything? Business is business.
You know, I like the way you think.
More coffee, Noah? Or I'd better call you Captain Noah.
Oh, no, thank you, Mrs. Pulford. It'll be the better part of 3 weeks before I have this good a breakfast again.
Noah, something's going on.
Ma'am?
Why did hotheads like Peyton and them sign on the Betty Lee?
Because they need work.
After the way they've been talking about petroleum oil?
A man talks one way when his belly's empty, and another when he sees a chance to have it full.
Well, I don't like it.
Is there no pleasing you, Mrs. Pulford? You keep arguing with me day and night to accept reality, and then when I do...
I say there's something going on.
Well, why?
I can see Peyton and his like changing their minds overnight, but not you, Noah. You got convictions that run deep. I know how you feel about Whalen.
Well, maybe you succeeded in talking some sense into me, after all. Steady.
Steady as she goes, Captain.
Let this wind keep favorable, and we can have our cargo back in port day after tomorrow.
Aye, in port, but not in town. The day after tomorrow, the 5th of June, 1866, a famous date in history, the grand and glorious petroleum oil party. The whole town will be there to watch us come into the harbor, but instead of tying up to the dock, we drop anchor in the middle of the harbor and start the festivities, eh? Why, Noah, you're looking serious. So serious.
It's just, well, I don't hold with violence.
Silence, man! You had 4 years of war.
Now, that was different.
What's a man to do, Noah? What's a man to do?
Now, you're right, Peyton. You're right.
What a body that's gonna be!
Where is she? Where's that ship? She was due hours ago.
Now, George, they say there was a storm down along the coast, south of here.
Perhaps I should never have given him the ship.
George, he is the most qualified.
Prue, is that why you wanted me to make him the captain?
Yes, George.
Is it the only reason? Is it, Prudence?
Yes.
You were in love with him.
Oh, that was during another time, another life.
Then you admit...
Well, that life died. It was killed by the war the way so many others were. We can't have the things that were. We can only have the things that are.
Look there, folks. Your ship.
Oh, it's the Betty Lee.
The Betty Lee.
Oh, strike up the band.
Well, there she is, Noah. The whole town's turned out.
And what will happen after? After the party.
What happened after the Boston Tea Party? The boys all became heroes.
Oh, I wish it were that simple.
Peyton, look to the starboard.
Why?
Look. Am I dreaming? What do you see?
Well, Oh, it ain't possible.
It's a whale.
But it can't be a whale.
It can't. But look at him. Look at him spout.
It's a sign. A sign sent to us from above. On this day, the great and grand and glorious Petroleum Party Day.
Yes. Yes, it is a sign. A sign that says, look. Look at this wonderful creature. Now he can live. Now you don't need to kill him anymore. Because you've been given oil from the ground.
No, boy. What are you saying?
Now, you heard what I said. It's a sign. That whale, he's going home to live his life in peace. What we've gotten hold of this ship is what we will use for oil from now on.
You crazy. Whaling is your whole life.
That life died, killed by the war.
But going after whales is the life
is gone, Peyton. We can't have the thing that was. Only the thing that is. The whale was. Petroleum is.
You backing down?
No. I'm standing up. Standing up to the truth.
Drop anchor.
I forbid it.
Men, he's a traitor. He's gone back on his word.
I'm captain of the ship.
He wants to betray us.
I want to save
you. Now, don't you listen to him.
Men. You saw that one whale. But look. Look beneath you in the hold of the ship. Hundreds of barrels of oil. It just came out of the ground. It never stops. It's oil. It burns. It lights.
It lights the lamps of the devil. Let's get that cargo overboard.
You will obey orders.
Not from traitors.
I'm in command here.
No more. We're taking over the ship.
Do any of your men want to mutiny? Do any of you want to hang?
Don't listen to him, men. He's sold us out. Come on. Let's tie him up, boys.
I'll shoot the first man who raises a hand against me.
What are we waiting for? He's all by himself.
Am I? Jim. Robbie. Harry. You've got more sense.
All right, boys. Let's rush him. No. I didn't mean... I just wanted...
Peyton, you can't do this. This crazy thing. You know you can't.
Oh, boy. Are you all right? All right, some of you men, let's get him below.
No. I might as well stay here.
We didn't want anyone to get... hurt, Noah. No one was supposed to get hurt.
Someone always gets hurt when grown men act so crazy. You can't fight it. You can't fight progress. Fight that stuff that we got in the hold. You can't do it. You go on, and you do the best you can.
Oh, you'll be all right. You'll be all right, boy.
No, I don't want anyone to get into trouble. How it happened, well, just say that we were firing off our pistols to celebrate. And we had an accident.
No. We'll get you to a doctor.
Peyton, and he... Ah, she blows.
Oh, you see him, Peyton? Oh, he's a beauty. The biggest, rightest whale in the world. Why are we sitting here? Why don't we man the whale boats? Peyton.
It was a tragic accident, but perhaps it served to place things in the proper perspective. How stubbornly we cling to the past, to yesterday, to the known, the tried, and the true. And then suddenly, what we have treasured so highly appears to us as only an illusion, and the bubble bursts, and we have moved away from yesterday into today, where we are already preparing to resist tomorrow. I'll be back shortly.
I look at it this way. I played a wide variety of parts. I played a man named Charlie who was mentally retarded. I played a presidential candidate, a rodeo rider, and a PT boat skipper. And for each role, I try to learn everything I can about that character. I'm Cliff Robertson, and I'm trying to explain my reasons for wanting to see cancer conquered. In the parts I play, I learn how people are the same and how they're different. One common thing everyone faces is the threat of cancer. How we react is what makes us different. For me personally, I react positively. I know what I must do, and I do it. I'd urge you to do the same. Regular health checkups are protection. Knowing cancer's warning signals is a defense. And supporting the American Cancer Society is a way of getting rid of the threat of this disease. Please give generously to your American Cancer Society. As they say, we want to wipe out cancer in your lifetime.
It's becoming a blander world, isn't it? At one time, a man's job, his work, his quest for his daily bread provided him with all the excitement and action he needed. Hunter, trapper, stage driver, river pilot. Well, we do make progress, don't we? We push pencils and press buttons for the most part. And it's more efficient. You simply cannot prevent progress. But what to do for excitement? We can fill that particular void in your life 7 times each week. Our cast included Christopher Tabori, Russell Horton, Ian Martin, and Joan Shea. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
And he was stabbed?
Yeah,
stabbed in the back. The back.
A nice, clean little wound.
But it did the job.
And the killer left no clue behind at all?
Not a thing.
Then you're completely in the dark.
There's one little item. Nobody can figure out what it means. The dead man had a kind of white smudge, you know, just above his chin.
What kind of smudge?
I told you, a kind of white smudge.
Yeah, well, what was the smudge made of?
If I told you, you'd be even more confused than I am. Cornstarch.
Cornstarch?
Figure it out. What was he doing with a cornstarch smudge across his face?
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Time Magazine. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Thank you.
24 hours of bright and beautiful music. 91 KIXI, Seattle.
CBS News. President Ford blames the crossover vote for his loss in Texas. Ronald Reagan, the winner in that primary, says issues are not confined to political parties. I'm Rita Sands reporting on the CBS Radio Network. President Ford came away from the Texas primary with no delegates to the National Convention, a crushing defeat, and he feels it.
I was naturally disappointed with the results in Texas. We expected to get a fair share of the delegates. We didn't. I think the main problem was a great many crossovers from people who ordinarily vote in the Democratic primary, and some apathy on the part of some Republicans.
Ronald Reagan says that crossover vote is part of his strategy.
I've been aiming my campaign in every state, across party lines, because I believe that the issues cross party lines. I think there's a new majority of Americans out there that are going to ignore party lines because they want something done about our situation, both on the world scene and domestically. And in Indiana, the crossover is permitted. And so I hope that a great many will.
Both Reagan and Mr. Ford are now in Indiana campaigning for Tuesday's primary. Georgia, the District of Columbia, and Alabama also have primaries that day. CBS News continues after this.
Okay. Now, send up that wheeze. Beautiful. Now, give it to me again with that husky effect he gets after smoking.
Now I'll give him the old 1-2 with a gasp and a down deep cough.
Now, how about we hold back just a few seconds so that he sort of loses his breath? If he doesn't get the message now...
If you don't get the message now, there's little more your lungs can do for you. They're trying to tell you something with every breath you take. Quit smoking. Quitting is tough. Lung disease is tougher. Cleaning up air pollution is no cinch, but every breath you take adds up or takes away from better breathing. Your local lung association says better breathing is a matter of life and breath.
Morris Udall says he will smoke out Jimmy Carter on the presidential nomination issues in the next 2 weeks. Carter won the Texas Democratic primary by a runaway margin. Udall says Carter's been fuzzy with his answers. A former speechwriter for Carter, Robert Schrum, charges that the candidate says one thing in public and the opposite in private, that he's deceiving the public. Carter denies the charge. A poll by Time magazine says if the presidential election were held today, Jimmy Carter would defeat Gerald Ford. The poll is based on interviews with over 1,000 voters last week. A similar poll taken just 7 weeks ago shows the reverse, Mr. Ford the victor. According to the poll, the entire Republican Party has fallen from grace. 50% of those questioned said they wanted to see a Democrat elected this year. Democratic presidential hopefuls have gone to the Black Democratic Caucus in North Carolina, courting votes. Bruce Hall has a report from Charlotte.
Former Georgia Governor Jimmy Carter and California Governor Jerry Brown picked up additional support at the meeting of the Caucus of Black Democrats. But the caucus refused to endorse any presidential candidate. Carter, Brown, Frank Church, and Morris Udall told the 1,000 delegates, if elected, they would appoint more black judges, provide more black jobs, and more money for education. However, all refused to back a resolution approved earlier in the day by the caucus for a guaranteed income. And none of the candidates would give a commitment for a black vice president. But all said blacks and women were being considered. The black leaders told the candidates that some of their group have already become disenchanted with the Democratic selection. And unless they start speaking out strongly on issues of interest to black America, many blacks may stay home on Election Day in November. Bruce Hall, CBS News, Charlotte, North Carolina.
Reports out of Britain confirm claims that NATO scientists have developed an atomic depth charge as an answer to the Soviet submarine. Bob Dyke has a report from London.
A spokesman at the British Defense Ministry has confirmed the existence of the NATO-developed atomic depth charge, but refused to talk about the new weapon's design or about the size of underwater explosion it is capable of. But London's Sunday Times says the atomic depth charge's blasting power equals several thousand tons of TNT. A Royal Air Force pilot is quoted as saying there wouldn't be much left of any submarine within a wide range of the explosion. The paper says the device can be delivered by any conventional fighter bomber, and that it can destroy today's deep-diving, fast-moving, highly elusive nuclear submarines, which are able to outrun and outmaneuver conventional torpedoes. The Times says NATO's planners were influenced by the rapid growth of the Soviet Union's submarine fleet and the need for an anti-submarine weapon that would not involve land-based missiles. Bob Dyke for CBS News, London.
Henry Kissinger is in Nairobi to address the fourth UN Conference on Trade and Development and propose formation of an international resources bank to help stabilize the incomes of third world nations. Beirut suffered through one of its worst batterings of the civil war over the weekend. One report places the weekend death toll at more than 200. Rockets, mortar, and artillery shells fell on the city's commercial and hotel district, where left and right-wing gunmen faced each other at point-blank range. The intense fighting began after the announcement on Friday that parliamentary elections were being postponed by at least a week. Rita Sands, CBS News.
CBS for Seattle, this is KIXI. The time, 11:06.
This is KIXI. Bright and beautiful music. Seattle.